You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today I have Isaiah Leslie on the line, and he is co-founder of Regal Court Reporting and the president of Regality Media. Isaiah, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Adam.
All right, Isaiah. So excited to get into today's topic. So we'll be talking about court reporting and also, of course, the litigation support industry in general. I mean, you have a lot to offer there. You've been working in the business for quite some time. And I think it'd be interesting to get your vantage point of things like, you know, the labor situation. Is there a shortage? I know there's a lot of other shortages in other places. Like, what else is going on in the industry? So excited to get into all of that. But before we do, we'll start with our Mission Matters Minute. So Isaiah, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. So that's our mission here. Isaiah, what mission matters to you?
Yeah, great question, Adam. And, you know, I've thought about this a little bit. When I started out with doing this business, you know, the idea was to, you know, make a successful business for myself and my family and, you know, kind of create a niche for ourselves in this industry that we were in. But as I've gotten older, I think the mission to me, especially now with the need that we see, and I know we're going to talk about the labor shortage in a minute, but is to really be an evangelist for the trades, for trade mm-hmm. schools, for our young people to be exposed to that career path and to not have it be a stigma for anyone, that it's perfectly reasonable and actually a great career to get into the trades. Certainly our industry depends on folks getting into court reporting and stenography, which is a trade. So I really want to promote the message of trade schools. That's really become my message as a business owner, and also to help spread that message, you know, here in Southern California.
That's awesome. Love bringing mission-based entrepreneurs and executives on the line, really just to share what they do and why they do what they do. Like what wakes them up in the morning, what gets them exciting. So thank you for sharing that. Before we go into the business side of things, let's kind of take a step or two back and just tell me a little bit more about how you got started on this entrepreneurial journey.
Sure. So I didn't have any aspirations growing up. What do you want to do? I want to be a court reporter or have a court reporting business.
Are you sure? It wasn't like an old episode of Law and Order or something. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've seen those little people sitting in the corner typing on their little machines. No, that wasn't anything in my thought process or at all. But what happened was I had got into sales after college, and I like sales quite a bit. I ended up marrying a girl who was going to the court reporting school here in Orange and decided that, you know, maybe court reporting would be a business that we could do ourselves. And so that's really it. I married a court reporter, and that's how I got into this business. And so she has the technical proficiency at it, and I had the business development acumen to kind of just start that agency model. And, you know, here we are 14 years later with a pretty successful business.
Wow. What a great story. So you got a wife out of it and a business. Come on.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well.
That's amazing. So what initially, as you were just thinking of it as a business, if we could go back a little bit, what kind of drew you to the industry? Of course, obviously it was your wife, now your wife, but like what drew you to the industry as you started looking under the hood, as you started digging in, like what interested you about it?
Sure. So, you know, I understood sales pretty well, and I came out of a manufacturing sales background with chemicals, which is totally different from what we're doing now. But what had happened was I transitioned to financial planning and I actually had done a financial plan for an agency owner, a court reporting agency owner, about 6 months before I quit that job. And what was really inspiring to me was his background was similar to mine. He had a background. He went to USC. I went to USC undergrad. He was a poli-sci major. I was a poli-sci major. And I asked him how he got started in the business, and he married a court reporter. So that kind of stuck with me, you know, and I saw he had a pretty successful agency model. Mm-hmm. So when I quit my job and my wife asked me, what do you want to do? I said, well, this agency owner over here, he did the same thing, you know, and he's done pretty well for himself. And so when I did the research, the barrier to entry is really low. There's not really any capital expenses you have to make. You can, at the time we started, we ran a virtual office. So we had an executive suite that we could do depositions in for conference room space that was needed. But honestly, we ran it out of our house. So the barriers to entry were really low. And at that time in the mid 2000s, you know, business was incredibly booming. I mean, you could make a lot of money as a court reporter, six figures a year right out of court reporting school, which is pretty unheard of, right? I mean, lawyers, engineers, those folks can make six figures, but they're getting a lot of schooling.
Yeah.
In court reporting school, this goes into my trade talk, which I know we'll get into, but you could do, you know, a court reporting school at a trade school, community college, and really in 2 to 4 years, you could be graduated and making good money. So the money was good. The barrier entry was low, and the competition, you know, there's a number of agencies at that time, and there's probably more family-owned agencies back then than there are today, but still there's so much business to be had. So those are really the key things that we saw that we could make this work and probably come out all right.
Oh, that's interesting. And so let's go further down that path. So, and the reason why I want to do that is because there's some younger people right now that are watching this, or maybe not even, and I mean younger in their career, or maybe they're looking for a career change or different things. Like, what kind of advice would you give to those that are looking for something in terms of pursuing that as potentially a career?
So the court reporting itself or starting a business?
No, the court reporting itself.
Yeah. So I would say it's, you know, not to sugarcoat things. It's a difficult skill to learn. I mean, you've got to be able to type at 200 words a minute with 97% accuracy. And in the state of California, you have to do that for 10 minutes straight.
Wow.
So now granted, they have a different type of machine. They have a steno machine, which is not as many buttons to press. So you have that advantage, but still you have to learn basically a brand new language. You've got to learn shorthand for every word that you know and put it in a dictionary. So there's quite a bit you have to learn. And but I would say that if you are good with your hands, if you've had any experience playing the piano or anything else where there's finger hand-eye coordination, things of that nature, and you're looking for, and you don't quite know what you want to do, right? You don't have any passions that you want to follow, then I would consider something like court reporting, where there's a profession that you can choose what jobs you want to take, when you work. I mean, these are independent contractors as defined by the state of California even. And so you're your own boss. You create your own business, and you don't, the overhead to do that. So it's really neat in that you can find a profession that pays you really well, but you can almost instantly be your own business owner in that regard. It's kind of unique, right? I mean, you can be a technician in a lot of fields. You can be an engineer, you can be a lawyer, but to have that dual ability to do both, pretty much from the time you graduate, is pretty rare. So I think if you want to start a business and you don't know what you want your career to be, court reporting would be an excellent option for you.
Awesome. So let's go further into today's topic. So what you're seeing in the really in the court reporting and litigation industry, maybe we start with the labor, like what's going on that front?
Yeah, so that really is the crux of the problem in our industry. It's sort of the existential threat, if you will, of long, you know, how is this profession going to be in the next 5 years, the next 10 years? And I do see hope. I we're doing a lot of things right now to make people aware of this profession and to make it easier for people to get exposure to it. We have a great program called the A to Z Court Reporting, which is kind of a crash course on what it means to be a court reporter. So there are certain things in place. But that is the issue, is the labor shortage, as in many other industries, right? We've got a group of older working individuals in that baby boomer generation who are, even before COVID, were starting to retire in really big numbers. And the younger people that are getting into work are not getting in there in numbers enough to replace what we're losing, right? So that's the issue. I mean, so we've got to address that. We've got to get more young people interested in the trades in general, and then I would say in court reporting in particular, and also kind of erase the stigma attached to going into a trade as opposed to, you know, going to a 4-year college and getting a degree in whatever else it might be. I think that's another thing that would help our industry quite a bit.
Yeah, it makes sense. And I think this is one of the things that it's happening in a lot of industries, like manufacturing, I mean, welding, like all these different industries that where people are maybe retiring out of, or they're getting near close to retirement and thinking about like the next generation and who are going to fill those roles. I feel like there's a big shift there and there's a lot of stigmas that are placed in them. So I appreciate you coming on and sharing more about like what that looks like, because people will see this and they'll be like, huh, never thought of that one. And kind of go down that potentially go down that path. So it's good stuff. Other than the labor side of things, I mean, what else are you seeing? You mentioned something about a lot of consolidation, or there's not quite as many family-owned businesses now, or give me a little bit more there.
Sure. Yeah. And before I do that, just real quick on what is changing as well, and this ties in a little bit to the labor shortage, is that technology has really been our ally, right, in a lot of ways for a lot of different industries, but specifically for court reporting. The fact that, you know, we can do depositions over the video now, and that lawyers who are notorious for being slow to change are all adapted to Zoom and other forms of video conferencing has been a huge help. And so that technology platform is going to be a part of life in our industry for a while to come. And it helps alleviate some of that labor shortage, not all of it, but it makes it easier. So that's exciting. And I'm looking forward to that being a future.
So now, just to make sure I understood correct, so now you said you can do the deposition through Zoom or another platform. So now they can potentially be working even remote. Am I hearing that right?
Exactly. Yeah. And we do that. And they can take more than one job per day. Whereas in the past, you know, if they have to take a job in West LA and they live somewhere else, well, your chances to drive to another location from West LA at any time of day, but especially in the morning or afternoon, is really limited. But with a laptop, you could take 1, 2, 3, sometimes, you know, I mean, if you really wanted to be, you know, adventurous, you could try to take, you know, 3 or 4 depots in a day via Zoom, and they could be depots noticed anywhere in the state. They could be San Diego all the way up to like Reading. So that's exciting. And that does help. And
so that means that labor shortage, correct me if I'm wrong, labor shortage plus more technology, you could take more like it for earning potential. I mean, there's a lot of earning potential right now on the table for this field. Am I off?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, really, the sky is the limit. In the past, you're limited by the number of days you could work in a week, which is obviously still, you know, five days a week. But now within those days, you're not limited to just one job per day or two at the most. You could take several. So really the earning potential is whatever you want it to be. And that's really exciting. But with COVID and with the consolidation that we see in our industry is kind of accelerating, right? So when you have these reporters retiring, some of them are agency owners, and they're either selling to a big corporate box store type of competitor, one of these national competitors that maybe isn't owned by a court reporter, but can offer a lot of money to a family-owned agency. And so that they're they're selling, which I have no qualms with people selling to whomever is going to buy them for the most money. We're business owners. We're going to do it. Makes sense. But
absolutely,
a lot of times that acquisition and those consolidations mean that there are fewer of the family-owned agencies out there, family and I should say court reporter-owned agencies, which is a big deal in terms of representing your industry in the most ethical and, you know, moral way. I think it helps when you have an actual court reporter who runs that business, who takes it seriously, those ethical standards that we have for ourselves. So that's what we're seeing a lot of now, is this consolidation. It's bifurcated. You have big corporations at the top who maybe aren't, you know, headquartered in California. There's some other state and they're run by maybe not court reporter, somebody else, who are buying up these smaller agencies. And then you have those of us who are left, who maybe don't have as many of the venture-backed capital to put into it, but still are able to offer deals that are attractive and provide something else that's attractive, which is the quality of the service and the branding and sort of really the vibe that we bring to the table towards our clients, and also those other employees of court reporting agencies that, you know, their owners might be worried, what's going to happen to my team, you know?
And I think that's a great transition. So speaking of the team and the company, let's go further into Regal Court Reporting. So tell us a little bit more about the business.
Sure. So as I mentioned, my wife and I started out of our house back in 2007. We incorporated in 2008. And so for the first few years, it was just me and my wife. We had a few family friends that worked with us part-time. But the idea behind the business was always to provide that small business owner mentality, right? But be able to deliver services that our big corporate competitors obviously can deliver as well. And so it was being big enough to deliver, but small enough to care. That was our motto from the beginning. It's still what we live by now. And so when we have hired our employees, because we do have people in-house that produce our transcripts for us, we have a billing department, you know, calendaring, scheduling,
yeah,
all those typical things that you'd have, a video manager, et cetera. We're a family, and from the top to bottom, you know, my wife and I, we operate that way. Our court reporters who work with us on a freelance basis, it's the same thing we bring to the table with them. You know, when you work with us, you have access to the key decision makers from day one. And my team has been empowered to do a lot of these things so that there's not a lot of corporate phone trees that you might experience. You know, you call in and you get sent to somebody else. So yeah, that's really our brand, if you will, and from day one, and it's continued to be that way today.
Mm. So tell me a little bit more about your strategy for growth and overall, like how you see the business growing going forward.
Sure. So what we started doing in 2019, so I've never actually had a sales team. And I think it comes from my background in sales myself and seeing how, and this
isn't
a
knock. You've been the one on the yeah, doing it.
Yeah, and it's not a knock against that, but we see it in every industry, right? You hire a great salesperson, sales manager. For whatever reason, that person decides to leave. They go to a competitor, and now they've taken those relationships with them. Yeah. Very often, it happens. I mean, there's really no way around it unless you don't hire a sales team. And right, so I've been the sales team for my business since day one. I do the business development now. I have people on my team that interface with clients, and I've trained them on how to do that, but I don't actually have a sales force, right? So the growth has been organic. It hasn't been maybe as fast as some of my competitors, but my clients generally stick around. And so we've grown that way up until 2019. Mm-hmm. And that model is fine. And we were very successful at it, but we've seen a lot more growth in the last 2-3 years because we've had other agency owners like ourselves who are ready to retire, and they don't want to sell to the big corporate entity out there. They care about their clients having that same level of service that they've offered. And so we've acquired agencies, and that's been our new model. And quite frankly, from a biz dev standpoint, it's a lot easier to grow that way. Obviously there's other challenges with that, but in terms of getting more growth and getting it more quickly, that's a fantastic model that we really would like to focus on going forward. And honestly, with the consolidation we see, that model can work for a number of years for us.
Wow. What a great story. And just to kind of fuel growth and everything else. I love to hear success stories like this. What do you look for? Like what makes a good partnership on that, or a good acquisition, I should say, on that? Cause it's gotta be tricky, right? Like, cause you have this set of clients and this certain thing that's been being done for a long time. And now it's like trying to get those two worlds together. Like what do you look for in that type of partner acquisition?
Sure. Yeah. And it is a bit of a courtship, obviously, certainly on their end looking at us. But we have a certain type of client, you know, that we're very good at servicing and helping with. And those are clients that, I mean, obviously we work with any type of law firm that wants our services, but we're very good at handling a lot of the more complex matters. We have reporters that are trained to handle very difficult types of terminology. From a technology standpoint, we have a lot of equipment that works well with, you know, the hybrid and remote worlds that we're in today. So we look for agencies that have similar types of clients, and also agency owners that share our same brand for personal care, you know, family ownership, that attention to detail, the quality that you see, and not passing people off to, you know, 3 or 4 different phones, but, you know, having our employees be able to basically having a very competent team, right, that's been there for a while. So we look for agencies that have long-term employees that are very competent at what they do, that don't need to be micromanaged. I don't want to inherit an agency and have to start retraining everybody. You know, I'd like people that work independently. And we've been very fortunate that both of our acquisitions to date, the first one was an agency that was roughly the same size as ours. They were a boutique agency up in West LA. And frankly, the revenues were a little bit higher than ours too, but it was the same business model and the same branding. And she actually wanted to continue on as an independent contractor reporter and work for a number of years. So for us, it was great because we knew the clients were going to stay as long as she was staying there. And for that first year or so, we kept the branding separate. Their agency was separately marketed than ours, just until we had that relationship really solid with her, her clients. And so that was the model we followed for that acquisition. And she reached out to, we actually, the way that whole thing began was my partner, Stephanie, ended up reaching, doing some work for her independently as a contractor. So they got a chance to see each other and kind of view each other and size each other up, if you will, in terms of what type of court reporter they were. And so there's that. There's where the agency owner really wants to know, okay, who are these other reporters that are going to be taking my jobs, and who's the agency owner in an issue like me? And so that's how we did that one. And in 2020, we had a second acquisition. She'd actually reached out to us. We'd never worked with her before, but my partner, Stephanie, has been on the board of our trade association, which, by the way, is, I think, is a fantastic route. If anybody's looking to do a merger and acquisition, get involved with your industry's trade associations, go to those conventions, meet with other business owners in your industry, because for us, that's been a treasure trove in terms of finding the kind of agency we would like to acquire down the road and just building good relationships with them. With our shortage of reporters, we've really had to rely on help from one another, especially the family-owned agencies. If we can't cover a job, we network it with another agency and vice versa. So that reciprocity really helps build bridges so that when those agency owners maybe are considering another company to sell to, we want to be top of mind. And so my partner being involved in the trade association of our industry has been top of mind for other agency owners. And that's how we acquired the other agency in 2020. She was looking to get out and didn't want to continue to work. And she had several firms that she had been servicing over the years, but due to the shortage, she didn't have the reporters to be able to help them all the time. And so we were able to fill that need. And so even though the branding wasn't as important, the need we were able to fulfill for her clients ensured that we were able to keep her book of business happy and working with us too. So it's a couple of
examples. What a great story. So shifting gears a bit. So Regality Media. So how did that come about?
Yeah, so that was one of the fun things for me. So, you know, I got in this industry to build a business. My wife is the technician. She knows all about it. But, you know, I'm just an entrepreneur and I was looking for opportunities. And so we got lucky. So there's entrepreneurship. And then I learned about something else called intrapreneurship, I-N-T-R-A, right, which is sort of building a business within your current business. And I learned about that because one of my employees, a guy by the name of Sean, he actually had a background in film. He had a master's in film from the University of Miami. And he came out to California to get into the film business, but needed a day job, as so many people do, right? They took money to another job to pay the bills. So he worked for us as our videographer in-house because a number of our jobs require a videographer to be at the deposition to film the witness, in addition to the stenographer recording it. And it's helpful for trial and other purposes like that. So he built up our video production business in-house and then noticed that a lot of law firms at that time, this is back in 2015 or so, they had really corny commercials if they did commercials. Kind of a talking head with the leather bound books in the background, kind of, you know, if you've seen the movie Anchorman, kind of the Ron Burgundy approach to lawyer videos. And there was no story there and it was very dry. And so, being a filmmaker, he said, you know, I could tell a story that's a lot better than what we're seeing here. So he pitched me in the idea of approaching our law firm clients with this video production business that could do commercials and marketing and branding videos. So we did. And eventually we spun that out. So that's a separate company now. I'm partnering with him. And we've done commercials. We're right now in post-production on a feature-length sports documentary about the rise of Arizona Wildcats basketball, which is really in his wheelhouse of what he wants to do, which is feature films. But these corporate videos have been a great side business and the potential there is really huge. And so, you know, that's just one of the fun things you're able to do when you do have a business and you can, you know, entertain these other ideas. And it's been a lot of fun. That's been my fun business to do while I'm doing this.
Man, that's a great story. And I like how you said it. So he's like, I can tell a better story than this. we can do better for our lawyer friends out there. So that's great. And I agree with it as well. So and it's a big deal. Like video is so important. And so that the fact that you kind of found that little side niche or intrapreneurship niche, it's awesome. So I mean, I know you got a lot going on, so I just have to ask. So Regality Media, obviously the court reporting business side of things. I mean, what's next? What's next for you? What's next for the businesses?
Yeah, great question. So coming out of COVID, there's more stability, at least in that, you know, equation, part of the equation. The economy seems like, you know, if we can just get past this labor shortage, we'll be in smooth sailing. And I think that the projections for growth for our industry are really strong. And the acquisition model is what we see happening next. We'd like to acquire another agency. We're potentially in talks right now with another one that might close later this year. And that's been our growth. I think our growth model now for the next, you know, 3 to 5 years is to try to acquire at least one or two other medium size or boutique agencies here in Southern California. And that's great. And, you know, we're looking to train our senior team so that they can really run that more effectively. And that'll allow me to have more time to focus on Regality Media, which is really where the growth for that is through the roof. I think now in the last year and a half with all the video that we've done, and people have been so used to doing things on video, that being able to brand yourself digitally is even more important than, you know, the face-to-face meetings we have sometimes. So the future is bright for that. We're looking to the goal for Regality Media is to sell this sports documentary on a distribution platform, whether it be something like ESPN, Fox Sports, it could be Netflix or Amazon Prime, any of these online platforms now. Yeah. That's the goal. And then from there to do more of those feature length documentaries. Mm. So that's where we want to be.
Fantastic. Well, Isaiah, just have to say it's been great having you on the show. Really enjoy learning more about just how, you know, Regal Court Reporting came about. I mean, you got wife out of it, you got a business, now you have Regality Media. I mean, lots of great things going in. Obviously, you're providing a lot of service, you're providing jobs, you're providing now because as you've risen through the ranks in your field, now you've become a thought leader, and now you're also being a service to others, you know, even paying it forward, being active in the trade association, like all the things that you're mentioning, just being a good part of the business community there. And obviously wish you much more continued success with those two. Just want to say, first off, again, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, Adam. And I love what you guys do too. I think Mission Matters is fantastic. So thanks for letting me be a part of it.
So if somebody's listening to this or watching this and they do want to learn more about Regal Court Reporting or Regality Media, I mean, what's the best way for my audience to follow up?
Sure. So I mean, obviously our website's www.regalcourtreporting.com and regalitymedia.com are great resources. You can see a little bit more about us visually on our YouTube page. We have a Regality Media YouTube page and a Regal Reporting YouTube page that they can check out and see some of the videos and things that we've done there as well. I'm going to be starting a podcast, hopefully by the end of this year, about the court reporting industry in particular, about the trade and how people can get into it and just some of the benefits of it and what the lifestyle is of a court reporter. So that'll be on our website as well. So people can really get an idea of what it's like to be in this profession.
Oh man, I love it. It just warms my heart. Bring that podcast out. I'm excited. Don't forget to let me know when that thing goes live, because I know I want to listen to it and I want my audience to as well. I think it'll be really interesting to get that inside view of what your world is like in court reporting. So this is going to be great. To the audience, as always, thank you for tuning in. Hope you got a lot of value out of this. If you're a first-time listener or watcher, you're watching us on YouTube, viewer, hit the subscribe button. We definitely want you to be a return guest or return viewer. We have many more mission-based entrepreneurs, executives coming on the line for you, and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Isaiah, again, it has been a pleasure. Thanks again for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Adam. Take care.